It's your call.
1850 715 922.
Or text 51552.
The Colm Hayes Show on 2FM.
Lots going on today between now and 1 o'clock. Yeah, you can get to us on Twitter as well, at Colm Hayes 2FM. Or if you want to email us, you think there's something we should be talking about, Colm at RTE.ie. Thanks very much. I apologise for my voice now for the next couple of hours because I've got a bit of an old cold going around. I reckon I got it maybe from wearing an almost transparent shirt when we were down in the milk market on Friday doing the show, and it was particularly cold. It was bitter down in Limerick on Friday. So I've got the old lamps have come. I read something this morning, did I hear somebody saying that one of the definite ways of curing the cold at the moment is to rub garlic into the soles of your feet. And then the garlic goes up through your blood system and in through your brain or something, I don't know. And you'll be sorted out within 24 hours. God, I don't know if I'm going to rub raw garlic into the sole of my feet. Anyway, that's very mild. But I don't know if you're watching the football last night. Well done to Man United. At least we didn't lose another one, three in a row. First time it would have been since 1961. And well done Man City. What a great game as well last night against Bayern Munich. But I don't know if you were watching or you saw clips of the weather in Istanbul that just turned nuts. Literally within, 10 minutes they started playing the game, and if you can see the pictures, there's a lot of them on the internet, and it was absolutely it was more or less perfect. They weren't expecting what happened. They got a blizzard like never before in Istanbul, a snow blizzard, unbelievable. Within 10-15 minutes they couldn't see each other, the pitch was completely covered, and the ref had to blow the whistle and say, lads, off you go, we can't continue playing this football game. It's just crazy. And they're in Istanbul thinking, hang on a second, we're just like Turkey, we're next door to Syria, we're not far off the deserts, and people come here in the winter for a little bit of winter sun, and it's snowing in Istanbul, and it's not just snow, you'll see it across the internet, it's pretty severe blizzards last night anyway in Istanbul. No under sort of ground heating or anything like that, because you wouldn't assume that you needed it in Istanbul. World gone crazy. Now, also today, I haven't seen anything like this in all my years, and this is the controversy over charities. There, occasionally, every now and then, a charity gets into a little bit of your hot water, but not to the extent. This'll be looked back in years to come as the charity scandal, the month that literally charities just, I don't know, some of them falling on their own sword. Last night, I went off to buy the Christmas tree. I mentioned this yesterday, that one of the things that we do is we pick a charity. It's sometimes the usual charity, but we might every now and then pick a different charity, and we'll buy the Christmas tree hoping, we've been told that the money is going to that particular charity, and I would hope that it is. So last night, it's a new charity, so off we went into the car, and we're directed towards where this particular charity was selling their trees, got to the place where they were selling the trees, lovely trees, bought a nice tree there. And unusually for me, then I thought, hang on a second, I just want to check. So said to the chap, this is, all the money is going to this particular charity, isn't it? And he said, well, no, not all the money. He said, the profits go. And I went, okay, the profits. Explain, what do you mean the profits? And he said, well, we've got operating costs, obviously. Well, yeah, I can understand that. You have to purchase the trees from somewhere. And then you've got to rent the premises. You've got all the lights going, generators going. You've got all the electricity going. There are costs. There are staff to pay, tax implications, I would imagine, that sort of stuff. So after all of that, then the profit at the end of all of that goes to this charity. And I'm going, okay, that's grand. Then I'm driving off, and as I'm putting the tree up last night, I'm thinking to myself, is there a way that I can actually find out exactly how much that particular charity will get? Can I ring them up at the end of January and say, look, I bought one of your trees, and I just want to know, because it's all about transparency now, and it is a charity. I gave you my money, you know, hoping and believing it has gone directly to the charity. So firstly, what profit did you get from that particular Christmas tree sale? Just as a matter of interest, I'd like to know. And secondly, is there a way that we can follow the money trail then? Where is that profit going? Don't tell me it's going to top up somebody's wages. Do not tell me that I did all of that on a cold December night and bought a tree so that the money that is going to pay somebody so they can drive a bigger car or something like that. So it's just that whole transparency thing about charities. Now, a couple of weeks ago when this all broke, we're all thinking, my God, that's it. I'm going to have to really think about the money I give to charity. And of course, this time of year is the time. I'm sure you've had the Christmas cards in and you turn the back and it's all the money is donated, or this Christmas card specially, you know, produced for this particular charity. You've got candles all over the place. That's a big thing. Christmas trees are huge, a huge money spinner for charities, and rightly so. You know, at the end of the day, you really want to hope that you're buying this particular thing, there's money going to that particular charity, and it's helping the people who are, you know, needed from that particular charity, be it, you know, St. Vincent de Paul, be it for people who are sick, be it for, you know, Children's Hospital. You expect the money to go directly there. Now we're thinking to ourselves, is it? Is it going directly there? Or is it paying for your man's school fees for his kids, or for his bigger car, or his little top-up? Where is it going? So I'm just wondering, with this, especially with this week in it, and next week as well, and the Christmas trees and the candles, and have you really changed the way you operate now towards charities? Have you, like me, maybe questioned it just a little bit more than usual? I mean, will I follow it up in January? I probably should. And maybe I will follow it up in January just with a phone call and say, look, where, what sort of profits did you get out of that? And where are they actually going? Can you tell me where those profits are actually, what part of your charity will they be fed into? Are you asking those questions? Or have you decided, you know what? Forget it. I'm not just this Christmas. I mean, and every Christmas, people always generally give to a charity. This Christmas, I'm not going to even do it. Not till this is completely cleared up, till I know exactly where the money is going, till I know there's no top-up fees coming from, you know, private or public donations, charity donations. I ain't giving a penny. Or do you think, you know what? At the end of the day, you got to pay these guys. You know, you got to pay these guys. And maybe if the HSE aren't paying them enough, you know, public donations, just topping them up a little bit, isn't the worst thing, because they're still a very well-run charity. So you're thinking, it's all right, that's the way it operates. I still want to give to that charity, because some of it will eventually get down to the people who need it most. Have you changed, especially with your Christmas hat on, with your Christmas charity hat on? And so many people do work around this time as well. How have you changed? Give us a shout, 1850 715 922, or text us at 51552. Colm, speaking from my position, I really think people aren't in a position to be giving money to charity, and I would think people are looking after themselves first. It sounds mean, but everyone is in a bad financial position. But I think you're right. It'd be interesting to see where the money is going. Yeah, there are some people that actually, because of their own position, have stopped completely giving to charity. And also, there are some people who've now making that stand in the last week or two. And I just, it would be, it's. I often think it would just be great if, like, if there's a tenner, if I give 10 euro, and look at all the charities. I mean, there's lists and lists of them in the papers today, because they were ringing around asking what the chief executives and all the major players, managers run. If you give a tenner, it'd be great to actually follow that tenner right through a charity, through all the different charities, and see what comes out the other side. The person who really needs it, the person who's actually a customer as such of that charity, how much of that do they actually get? It'd be very interesting. I don't know the answer there. Now, Sheila, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. Have you been affected at all by the charity scandals, really, in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I was telling the lady that I was speaking to before talking to you that my dad and myself, we always, every 3 months, there's a gentleman who comes and collects for, I'm not mentioning the name of the charity, but a global charity.
Yeah.
And we've both given, I think it's a significant amount, nice. 50 euros,
yeah,
and that's collected throughout the year. But obviously, I'm not from here, so we had a Thanksgiving dinner, and my father and I were talking at Thanksgiving dinner, and we were saying, like, it's not going to happen any longer,
yeah,
to the global charity,
yeah,
because I don't make the type of money that possibly other people do, but I give because I give, and so what we said was, my mom, whenever she donates, she gives to a small local home for kids with special needs,
right.
So that money's going to go there now, because, like, my mom has been invited to parties at that, like,
yeah,
place where the kids are, and she sees where the money, when she raises or gives, actually is spent.
So it's literally an envelope handed in at the door of the school that particularly needs it.
Exactly.
So there's no administration. The first thing is, there's no administration cost there on that money that's handed in. And there's full sort of transparency in where the money is going.
Exactly. And, like, and I mean, the president, it was a female president at the time, came down to open the new building for it's a home for kids with special needs, young kids with special needs. And, like, the woman who runs the place, it's called Teen Andouli's in Carrow in County Galway. And they actually called my mom and invited her down. And I mean, I'm not saying my mom gives millions, it's not. But like, they actually called her down and my mom was like, it was so nice. And she was able to meet the president at the time. And it was like, she got to see what her money did all the time. It's something we never thought of. We never realized, oh, we probably should do that locally. But when this kind of came to light, it was like, you know what? I don't want to pay someone else's, you know, night out. I want to pay for the kit.
We're starting to think about it now, and it took this particular scandal for us to start to think about it. But, I mean, I have to say, like yourself, I've always had a concern about these global charities, these huge industries. They're monstrous. I mean, and okay, yes, they're very important when there's a world tragedy, and I mean, it's like the hurricane or tsunami, but they're just so monstrously, there's so much employment in it. You're wondering, if I give 20 quid, how much of that actually turns into a bag of rice? You know, is it €1? Is it €2? That's a really difficult one to get involved in.
I wouldn't have a clue, but from a business point of view, I know when you're selling things, you know, usually it's the presentation, the advertisement.
Okay, sorry, we're back there. Just for a minute, we were getting a terrible line there.
Sorry.
And just in even our local Irish charities now, from the CRC right through, has that made you think as well?
Yeah, across the board, I would prefer to, if I can walk in to the charity or like a small school, or my, even, if that said, not even a charity, even my local school, I don't have kids myself, but even giving money to the local school so they can have a party for your kids that you know walk down your streets every once in a while.
Yeah.
It's something that I think I'm going to take on board a lot more. And local community things. I say home, like I live in Wicklow, but my parents live in Galway. So, like, you know, I will give to, you know, community centre in Blessington where I live, or in Carrow where my parents are.
Where you actually see it, it's not a case of I'm giving up paying donating to charity, I'm going to donate it now in a much more organised manner where I can actually see the benefit of the money I'm actually giving. Yeah, I've got to I totally agree with you on that one. And you know what? The problem is then these huge global charities and even the bigger Irish charities are going to suffer from that. But until we feel that there's full transparency, they are going to suffer. There's no, you know, and you and me aren't going to change that. The people at the top of these charities, they're the ones that can change our perception of what they're doing, you know.
But if we donate to places like our local schools and our local community centres and our local community groups, then we end up getting kids who want to do charitable things. And wouldn't it be better that you have a child down the line that wants to go to the Philippines and help because they have the education to do so, whether they're doctors or engineers or whatever the case may be, because they've had the support from within their community as opposed to someone handing them money.
Yeah. All right, Sheila, listen, thanks for the call.
All right, have a lovely day and happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas to you. Thanks very much. Is it Mia or Maya?
Mia,
how are you, Mia?
Hiya, I'm good.
How do you feel about the charities?
Well, I don't normally give to charities.
Right.
What I do is I save €10 a week for a year. At the end of the year, I go and I buy a heart monitor machine, a blood pressure machine, or you know, a wheelchair, and you donate it to Pacific Hospital, mainly the children's hospital. So you're not giving, no money is crossed in hand, you're just handing them a machine or, you know, for the kids.
That's a really good idea. And do you have to save a huge, I'm just thinking, like, well, you know, how much are these pieces of equipment?
Well, it just depends, you know, a wheelchair can range from like €300 to €600.
Yeah.
My sister works in the CRC. Mm. And she's in the day centre, and the clients come in and their wheelchairs are falling apart and they have to sellotape it together. So one year we said, right, instead of giving to the hospital, we'll give to the CRC, and we donated 3 wheelchairs.
And how do you feel now when you read about all the managers and CEOs and the money they're making in some of these charities?
Oh, terrific. It's mainly, I worry about the kids.
Yeah.
They get nothing. I used to give to Troker, and I don't. When I realised, then all the money you give to them, you're only getting like 1 cent or 1 penny at a time out of all the money that you are donating. You know what I mean? I think.
Well, I think all of these charities have to be completely transparent now, and the global charities in particular have to be transparent and show us exactly where all the money is going. And again, I just believe that they're going to suffer, and it's their own fault until we see that full level of transparency, you know?
Exactly. I had people calling to my door asking to donate money for, you know, various charities, and I said, well, you know, I only work 2 days a week. I'll tell you what I'll do. Rather than give you money, I'll give you my time. So I'm free Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, and I'll give you my time. And I was told, oh, no. So I said, you don't need me to go into a centre or an old folks home, just sit and be company for them, or, you know, do their hair or silly things like that. And it was all, no, we just need your money. The only charity I donate to on a regular basis is the Irish Cancer Society. I donate €21 a month. Because when my husband died, they were really good to me, and they came. I had a nurse every night for 3 weeks,
right,
up until he died, and they were absolutely brilliant. That's the only one I regularly give. But I'm actually seriously thinking now of cancelling, and it's wrong. I shouldn't be doing it. Shouldn't be thinking of it. It's wrong.
Well, I mean, you've got to make that decision yourself, and I just believe until this is completely cleared up and we get full transparency from, and you should be able to ring up the Irish Cancer Society. Yeah. And I don't know if the list is there. I have a list, and I'll go through it in a few minutes. But you should be able to ring them up and say, okay, look, I want to know. You know, I donate this amount every month. You are absolutely fantastic with my husband, but I want to know the transparency now. Is there a top up going on, or what's the, you know, where's the money going, and how much is this? I mean, all of that should be available. You should be able to see that, you know, because it's of the level of funding and the charity funding. We should all be able to see that in their accounts, you know.
Exactly. It's the likes of, you know, there's young widows out there know, okay, my husband died of MS or he had cancer, so they will say, right, I'll specifically donate to them charities. But now they don't know where their money's going. They just don't know where it's going. And it's sad, really. It's sad, really.
Well, the mail, today's mail, went to many of the charities and rang up many of the charities and asked them to, you know, a couple of questions, which was, who's your CEO? What's the remuneration? And what's the public funding? And in the Irish Cancer Society, the CEO is John McCormack. He gets $145,000 per annum, plus health insurance, pension and a car. And the donations into Irish Cancer Society are up to $20 million. You've got to decide whether this man has actually deserved that amount of money, because he is responsible in some way for getting that amount of you know, donations. And some people will say, you know what, he's doing a brilliant, he's turning around $20 million a year. You know, look at industry and look at private commerce. How much would you pay a chief executive to run a company that's turning over $20 million? So do you think $145,000 plus health insurance, pension and a car is an accurate, for, you know, amount?
Yeah, definitely, because there's people starving out there. There's people that can't afford Christmas, you know, and these charities are taking money away from children and families who are on the poverty line. I don't care. $145,000 is a lot of money
So what some economists would say, just to take the other side, is that the Irish Cancer Society raises $20 million a year. That's a huge figure of money. Now, that has to be then broken down and spent to the various areas and research and whatever. And it takes a very clever chief executive and a very professional chief executive to be able to run a company properly that actually has funds of $20 million. So is $145,000 for the man at the top, do you think that's too much?
Yep.
Do you?
Yep. Okay. Yeah. I think I do. I honestly think it's too much. There's people out there doing better. They donate their time. A lot of people do it for nothing. Run all these companies, run, you know, charitable things, and they don't get paid. People knocking at people's doors every day, you know, getting spat at and getting, you know, abused, and, you know, terrible things said to them at doors, because they're going around asking for money.
But they're sitting
in their big cars.
Yeah, but just playing devil's advocate in that one, those people who are knocking at the doors, would they be able to run a company that is turning over $20 million?
My 12-and-a-half-year-old daughter would probably do a better job.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, thanks for the call. It'd be interesting to get people's opinions on that. And thank you very much for the call. Take care of yourself, all right?
No problem.
All right, take care of yourself. See you now. Bye-bye. I'm going to take this. It's interesting when you look down through the figures which are actually there. They're in the mail. I'll have a look at them. Actually, I'll take a break and have a look at a few of them. Maybe bring a few to you. If you're turning over 20 million, think of any company turning over 20 million. If you're a businessman at the moment now, or you're working in a company for sales and you turn over 20 million, you have to have a pretty hot professional at the top, don't you? A guy that knows, or a girl that knows the bean counter and how to work it professionally to actually be able to manage 20 million. And you're not going to get them for nothing. And that's one side of the argument. That's all I'm saying. That's just one side of the argument. 2FM. Text us or get to us at 1850-715-922. Bernie gave us a call. Bernie, how are you?
Hi, Colm. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Where do you stand on the charities?
I think it's all getting a little bit hysterical, to be perfectly honest with you. I agree totally with the last comment you made, about needing professionally qualified people to run our charities and institutions like that. And if people are working in a job and they're turning over or being responsible for multi-million pound organisations, I don't know what you quoted the earning would have been, 145,000.
Well, just on one that I came, because the last caller gave money to the Irish Cancer Society, the remuneration there for the CEO is 145,000 per year.
Yeah.
But the charity actually turns over 20 million.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's a drop in the ocean, compared to what maybe that, I don't know if it's a man or a woman.
It's a man.
Compared to what the work they are doing. And you may be sure it's not a 9-to-5 job. You may be sure it's probably long hours, weekend work. What do they want to do? That last caller made a comment about her 12-year-old being able to run it. I mean, that's just facetious, It's silly and it's demeaning, I think, to the men and women in those organisations.
So do you think
if we want it to be run professionally, we need to pay professionals to run it.
So do you think if at the very start of all of this we had been aware that there was a top-up fund coming in from public donations and that was all very transparent, do you think we'd be as hysterical as we are now?
I don't know. You see, I always feel like, things don't run themselves. You know yourself, even if you're just running a Christmas fair in your local parish hall, there's time, there's planning, there's everything. And I, for one minute, don't believe, people are going to give up, 7 days a week to work for nothing.
Yeah.
And generally you'll find the people at the top of these organisations are very qualified people. And we will lose them. My worry would be that nobody will touch our charities with a barge pole and we won't get professional people willing to come into our organisations. No, I'm not involved in charity except my own,
Right, yeah.
But, I give to charity and I will continue to give to charity.
But what's your sense then of the fact that some of the funding, the charitable funding, in other words, the money that I put into the bucket on the street, some of that goes then to topping up, let's say, the chief executive's wage because the HSE isn't given enough money and the charity says, well, we can only get him for 145,000. Mm-hmm. The HSE said, we'll give you 100,000 a year. We're going to have to take 45,000 as such out of the buckets to pay him. Yeah. Are you sort of saying, look, that's okay because in the end, you're getting 20 million and he's going to put that to the best use possible?
Well, I think there has to be a certain level of pain. What's the alternative? We won't get the people. We won't get the, the bankers could do what they like and they just walked away. And they weren't earning 145,000. They were earning a hell of a lot more than that. I think if you want somebody professional to run your organisation, I do think it's money well invested in a person that will run your organisation and will bring 20 million a year in.
Okay. Well, that's another side to it. And
I'm not saying. It'd be great if we could give every single penny. Excuse me. We could give every single penny into the charity, and that would be the ideal world, Colm. But we don't live in that ideal world. Everybody has to make a living.
Absolutely. All right,
you know,
Bernie.
And as I said, I am not speaking from the point of view of, I don't even know anybody that works.
No, no, you're giving us your personal opinion.
That's my personal opinion, but I did work for a long time. And I always knew our CEO earned a lot more than the rest of us, but I also knew, you know, he had put in the time to get to that level.
Okay, Bernie, listen, appreciate your opinion.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much for that. Take care of yourself.
Right,
all right, bye-bye. Just to bring you two more, Colm, let's see. Of course he deserves 145,000. Now, I'm going to give you some others. I'm not just focusing on one particular chief executive officer, and I'll give you a list of a few more. There is a full list, and this is, I'm taking this from today's Irish Daily Mail, and they actually rang around all the organisations, all the charities. There was a number of charities that didn't take the call. There's a number of charities that didn't give a salary details, and then there's a number of charities that did. So that's what I'm quoting from, and I'm quoting and hoping that the figures that the Irish Daily Mail have are absolutely accurate. So that's what I'm quoting from. Colm, I'm seriously shocked at what the director of the Irish Cancer Society is getting. Doesn't deserve that sort of money, and of families affected in Ireland, affected by cancer, and all want to donate to a cancer charity. It doesn't matter who directs it. It could be a 10-year-old. People will still do something that's very close to our hearts. If our family haven't been affected by cancer, maybe a friend or a neighbour. We all know somebody, so that's why the Irish Cancer Society raises so much money. Not because of who's at the top. But you don't feel then, if you are giving that amount of money, that you really do want a captain of industry at the top of that charity to ensure that the money goes to exactly where it should go. Okay, and Colm, Ady Roach does not take a wage out of our Chernobyl charities, and she works endlessly both to fundraise and physically care for the kids too. Now that, Colm, is real charity work. There's loads more coming in on that, you know that? We'll get to those as we can. If you want to get in on the conversation, 1850 715 922 or text us at 51552. We'll take a break here.
2FM. The Colm Hayes Show on 2FM.
All right, it's 11 minutes away from 1 o'clock. Barney, how are you?
How you doing, Colm? How are you?
Not too bad. How are you on the charity and the entire charity story as it unfolds?
That's right, yeah. I thought it might be worth giving you a ring to say that there are charities out there that nobody's making any money on. You know, nobody is on board making 150, whatever, grand a year. And a charity that I know is Pashley.
Yeah,
and I'm not affiliated with the charity, but we take in a child from Belarus twice a year.
Okay.
And Pashley organise that. They take 40 kids in during the summer and about 13 or 14 for Christmas.
Yeah.
Like we're expecting the kids in on Saturday now. And
how long do you take the kids for?
2 weeks Christmas, 2 weeks summer. And it's all self-funding. You know, the people who bring the kids in pay for the flights and they pay for visas and transport. And I was on to the founder of Pashley, Brian Kelly, a brilliant man. He makes no money on this. There's about six or seven people on the board, and they do great work. They go over there to Belarus, which is an incredibly poor country.
Absolutely,
They go out there twice or three times a year trying to, you know, fix up bits of broken bits that are in the orphanages, and really they're in a terribly dilapidated state. I think the kids have about 75 cents a day to be spent on them over there, and food, drink, clothes, heating, the whole lot, 75 cents a day.
So these kids, is this a direct result of the Chernobyl from years ago, or is this just the way Belarus is at the moment? Because I know it's spectacularly poor.
It's a bit of both, really, Colm. I think Belarus was worst hit by the fallout. Sorry, I'm on a train at the moment, as you can hear in the background. Apologies.
Very good. You're okay. Where's the train stopping now? What's the next stop?
We haven't started yet. We're just leaving Houston fairly shortly.
So, what state are the kids in when they come over to you?
Well, they're normally incredibly tired and very, very hungry. It takes quite some time for them to get across the borders from Belarus into Poland, and then they take a plane ride into Dublin. They're due in Saturday evening now. We can't wait to see our kids. Yeah. Our little girl, Lisa, she's been coming to us for about 6 or 7 years now.
Sorry, I didn't realise it. It's the same girl all the time. It's the same kids.
It's great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she calls us mummy and daddy. She's got no parents, you know, so it's fantastic for her. Wow. It's great for us as well because, you know, we've bemoaned how bad things have become over here in Ireland.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a bit of a shock when you realise how little these people have and how much they they yeah. appreciate so little.
And does,
so it's good for us as well.
Does Lisa, does she speak English at this stage? How do you communicate?
No, she doesn't speak English. And we kind of learned a little bit of Russian the first time she came. And then we realised, you know, with kids, you don't need language with kids. They just manage to communicate. And our little kids communicate so well with Lisa. It's mostly, you know, body language and sign language and stuff like that. We have a couple of words of Russian, but besides that, no, we make do. And with the best of fun, it makes for such a wonderful Christmas.
Wow.
With Lisa here and during the summer as well.
Are your kids a similar age to Lisa?
Yeah, Lisa is 8 going on 9, and we've a 9-year-old, and we have a 12-year-old as well, or 13-year-old. She'd kill me if she heard me saying 12. 13-year-old and a 6-year-old. Yeah. And 6-year-old gets on best with Lisa. I don't know, they just seem to communicate better. They're two mad things. And it's just fantastic. But really, what I wanted to talk to you about was the fact that Pashti makes absolutely no money. It's all voluntary. There's 6 or 7 people working on sidelines full-time. It's all voluntary stuff. And Brian was telling me that there's hundreds of charities around Ireland that you can support, that you know. And we used to support all the big charities years ago. Myself and my wife used to support the big charities. And we stopped. We decided we were going to just support this one. We knew where the money was going. It's not cheap, but we know that every penny is going to Lisa and getting her over here and changes their life. They say that every 2 weeks that they spend in Ireland puts a year onto their lives at the far end.
Wow.
And
do you pick her up at the airport? I mean, is it a big greeting thing to when she sees you, do the eyes light up? And
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, especially during the summer when there's 40 of them come. The winter or Christmas, there's 13, 14, but there's this huge cheer from everybody as they arrive in. And, you know, tears. I see grown men cry as I look in the mirror. I'm doing the same thing myself. It just, well, she's one of the family. And we miss her terribly when she's gone and look forward to her coming back.
Well, listen, well done, you. Well done. That's an amazing story. No, it takes a lot to do that. Absolutely. And for all of the reasons. But just, I'd say, the big reason is, as you said, the big smile, the big eyes as she runs out from arrivals, I'd say, is something amazing. Absolutely.
We get more than we give, I can tell you that.
Listen, you're very good. Great call as well. Thank you very much, Bernie.
Thanks very much.
On your way, sir.
Here we go. Bye-bye.